Blog Talk Radio.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
So your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know it's more than a feeling. Jesus said it in his word, you cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything, he'll make it all.
All right. That's the word. That is the key word, all right. You know, sometimes we feel like all right just isn't good enough. But I'm here to tell you that sometimes all right is all you need to get from one day to the next. You're listening to Don't Give Up Radio. I am your host, Jackie Wayans, and I'm really glad that we are here to share another week of encouragement with each other, to help each other to know that we can make it through whatever challenge we're facing, no matter how difficult it seems. It might be an empty refrigerator. It might be bills that are not being paid. It might be difficulty in your home, in your family, in your health. But whatever it is, if you have the faith to just hold on and keep believing, you can make it through, like our guests often do and often share with us here on the show. And, you know, I realize that we've had authors and singers and regular people that you just meet at your job or at your church, at your local store. But I've kind of ignored the whole sports arena. And this week I had a very good opportunity to find out about Phillip Brooks, who is an international oboe player, and he really reached out in terms of work that he's doing with a new clothing line that he's designed, a Christian clothing line, great clothing with great logos, very effective, you know, simply saying trust in God, believe in God. And so we are going to be chatting with him in a little bit, and he's going to talk to us a bit about his life and his faith and playing the game of ball, because, you know, we're all playing the game of ball. The ball game of life is what we're playing. And, you know, he has both perspectives, and I'm sure that we'll be able to gain a lot of insight from him. Now, this is going to be an international call. He is calling in from overseas. This is amazing. So we're actually waiting for him to tune in. But I asked Philip, I said, you know, what are some of the songs that have really brought you through and helped you through over the years? And he mentioned to me No Weapon by Fred Hammond. And if you guys following the show at all over the years, you will know that I love the ministry and the music of Fred Hammond. And that particular song resonated with millions of people, but as I've said many times, that is my life, literally. And I've played the track, I will not do that today, but I have played the track in the past where I'm just speaking over the track and I share with you a time when I, Jackie Wayans, you know, you see me now smiling and it looks like everything is wonderful, but everything was not wonderful. I was breaking into pieces, literally. And what I found was that I really didn't want to continue in this life that we live. I was really ready to check out. I had made all the provisions for my kids to be looked after and to make sure there was life insurance and all those types of things. And I was just going through the motions of life. And one day in my kitchen, the only thing that I really left open for God to be able to speak was music. I love music. And so over the airwaves of WBLS here in New York City came No Weapon. It was the first time I had ever heard it, and it gripped my heart so strong. And in fact, at that time, my heart felt like just I was carrying a 10-pound brick in the middle of my chest. It was just so hardened. And I just started to feel, again, to be honest with you. And those things started to break off. And I realized in that moment that really what God wanted was for me to just believe him 100%, even if it hurt, even if it continued to be painful. He wanted me to step out on faith and to trust his promises, what he's asking of you. So I'm going to play that track right now, No Weapon by Fred Hammond, because the reality is we need to have his promises in order to make it through.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon formed against me.
Hammond. You are listening to Don't Give Up Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans, and we are here with Philip Brooks. Philip, so glad you could be with us.
It's no problem. I'm glad to be on the show.
Well, you know, I was setting it up a little bit before you joined us. You know, I was telling them a little bit about yourself and the clothing line and that, you know, you mentioned that No Weapon was one of your favorite songs, and I was just sharing with them that it is also one of mine, and it literally pulled me back from jumping off a bridge, literally. You know, I was at a place in my life where I just didn't want to move on anymore. So I'm interested
Tested the Holy Spirit.
Definitely, you know. So I want to hear about your story and who you are. So take us back, though. I always like to start at the beginning and find out, you know, because every little boy in the world, it seems, wants to be a basketball player at some point in time, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, when did it become an interest for you? And, you know, just tell us a little bit about your childhood.
It really wasn't. I mean, I grew up with a basketball in my hand. When I was 4 years old, my dad was playing with me in the backyard, you know, one-on-one basketball, so it grew up in my hand, and God blessed me with that gift. So it was like it grew up in my hand, and it was a blessing from God. So with them two things, it was like, okay, basketball is what I'm going to be doing. And that's just how I started, and from when I was younger until now, you know, I'm blessed to keep doing it. So that's how I actually started. It was with my dad.
Okay, well, tell us a little bit about your family then, because, you know, it's a lot of times people might think of it as a talent or an ability, but they don't necessarily think of it as a blessing and how it could be a blessing. So that had to come, that mentality had to come from somewhere. So tell us a little bit about your family and, you know, growing up. What was it like?
I was blessed because my mom and dad, they're still married, and, you know, in the world we live in today, you know, it's not a lot of marriages that stay together, you know. So I was blessed to have them two stay together and raise me and my brother. They're both from Tyler, Texas. I'm from Dallas, Texas. They work in Dallas, Texas now, but they're both from Tyler, Texas. My dad's dad, which is my grandfather, he was the pastor of College Hill Church, and my mom grew up in the Church of God in Christ Church. You know, Kojic, I mean, they have real church. They have church. You know, they have church. So I was raised by them, and they showed me and my brother the right way. My brother is a lawyer right now. He just graduated from NYU 2 years ago. And back to my dad's story, right now he got colon cancer, so I would like for y'all to pray for him. He's been fighting that for the last 3 to 4 years. But I would like y'all to pray for him. Right now he's doing chemo treatment, but he's still getting up every day, running his business. He works for State Farm Insurance, running his business and walking with faith, you know. So I feel like everything's gonna be okay with God. But other than that, my parents have done a wonderful job, and, you know, that's the story on them. That's the story on them.
Well, that's great, and, you know, I will definitely make sure that we save time during the end of the show to lift him up, because that is very, very important to acknowledge someone who's, you know, really walked by faith and to support them
as
much as possible, you know. So tell me about, you know, when you clearly realized that this was the path that you were going to be on, playing basketball, and I would assume that you started, you know, playing, you know, at an early age. even in teams and maybe school teams and things of that nature. Tell me about your work ethic, like the hours you put in or your talk about that.
I put now I don't put as much hours in. You know, I mean, try to do. I'm getting older, so I'm 30 right now. I'm probably gonna play another maybe 7 years overseas. So I don't put in as much work as I did before to get overseas. Now, for me to get overseas and for me to put, you know, for me to get seen by agents and stuff like that when I was in school, I put in a lot of work, like 6 to 7 hours, you know, working hard every day from, you know how you're in New York, you know how Texas, you know how the Texas heat is in the summer. So we would be out in the summer on the track in the Texas heat, you know, for about 2 hours doing maybe 100s on Monday, 200s on Tuesday, 300s on Wednesday, 400s on Thursday, and Friday, no running. If you know what that is, you know, it's all conditioned on your legs, your power, and then, you're out in the hot track doing this, and after we're done with that, we would go in the weight room for another hour and about 15 minutes. After the weight room, we would go get our gym work in by, you know, getting our shots up, getting our drills in with the ball and play pickup. And then after that, we would get, you know, like the Pilates class, the yoga class. So we would go for about 6 to 7 hours a day before I got, you know, overseas. And when I got overseas, the first 3 or 4 years were the same way until the game just got – Like now it's easy for me because I don't play with so much athletic ability since I'm getting older. I play with intelligence. So when you play with intelligence and it's easy for you, you don't have to, you know, now I just try to stay toned, stay in shape, get my shots up, and I'm up out of there. So I do about 2 or 3 hours now a day and, you know, try to, you know, do other stuff. You know, now the Christian clothing line and I'm working on a few other things. So that's, you know, really how I started. But for anyone who's listening or, you know, for anyone, you have to put in work. You have to put in work. That's you have to wake up and you have to go asleep with basketball. Wake up and go asleep with basketball.
Exactly. And I would imagine that work ethic is the same for whatever dream you're pursuing. For you, it was intense. You know, definitely the hours were intense and just even the natural habitat that you lived in. Because I know that when flying into Texas, I've heard that you can fry an egg like 102 degrees, you know, right on the pavement. So you were dealing with, you know, severe, you know, weather and all of that. But you stuck to it. Now, here's the thing with this show. We highlight people who have a dream, who have a goal and ambition. But as we know, things aren't always smooth sailing. We have moments of crossroads, moments of crisis. The first thing I want to know is, did you ever early on hit a crisis point, whether it was people saying, you know, you can't do it, or you trying and aiming but not reaching the goal initially? What was your crossroads?
My crossroad was, it was never that I wasn't good enough. It was just I wasn't focused enough. You know, you hit that stage in life sometimes, maybe not you, but some kids. When I was a kid, I used to hang around the wrong people. I used to do stuff to slow me down. You know, I wasn't focused all on basketball. It was, okay, I love basketball, but I want to go out. You know, it's okay to go out and still, you know, do what you have to do, but I was doing it too much. I was doing that over basketball. You know, I was picking that over basketball. It was days to where I wasn't working out because, you know, I'm not in the streets like doing crazy stuff, but in the streets, like, never coming home, you know, just wanted to be out, you know, I had curfew, you know, calling my parents saying, can I stay out later, so I wasn't focused how I was supposed to be focused, and like my dad used to always tell me, you know, these years go by fast, and the years do go by fast, and luckily, I caught it, you know, I caught it right at the end. You know, my last year in university, I caught it right at the end, and it was right on time. But that was my crisis, because I let distractions stop me from fulfilling, you know, what God had for me, or you know what He blessed me with when I was younger, you know, and now I'm thankful for it since I realized before it was taken away, because it was at a point to where it could have been taken away if I didn't wake up, you know, but I woke up, and I didn't want to be one of them people, you know, at the barbershop or wherever saying I could have done this. I don't want to be someone that makes up excuses. I want to be someone that can motivate and inspire someone when they're looking at what I'm doing and they're seeing what I'm doing. So when I tell them something, they will listen. You know, I mean, I go to the, you know, these places all the time, and you know, the older people are telling someone, these kids, you know, how to do this, how to do, but they don't listen. The only people they listen to is, you know, the LeBrons and, you know, the other athletes who's, you know, out here doing it. So that's what I want to be, and that's what I want to do, you know, once I stop playing. So I caught it at the right time. I just caught it at the right time.
Well, that's the important thing, is to catch it at the right time, you know, and it's also important to be balanced, because I know my son did his first year at college, and, you know, the first semester, a lot of the young men had to come home. You know, the school was like, you guys are not, you know, doing what you're supposed to do, and unfortunately we can't carry you for another semester. And, you know, while, you know, my son definitely went to parties, he also knew how to get in the library and study. And so you have to make those hard choices and to know when to do what we're doing, you know, what we're doing, what we're supposed to do, what we're deciding to do. Now, you know, you were able to catch yourself before you, you know, had any serious consequences that you had to face or you had to deal with. But we also have the challenge of our dream, because sometimes there's a period where it's harder than we thought it would ever be. Or maybe the people that we thought would be supportive, maybe with even within your, I know you guys are famous for trash talking each other and, you know, kind of getting in each other's heads and trying to see if you can manipulate the player if you can't manipulate the game. When did you start to really feel the heat of that kind of playing on a professional level and, you know, being challenged, maybe even feeling like you're being pushed beyond your capability?
What I feel like the biggest, you know, thing that motivated me was from the agents. I had about two or three agents so far, and I had a lot, you know, tell me, I mean, you can't get a contract because of your profile, or you can't, I mean, they talk bad. When I say they talk bad, they talk bad. I mean, and they'll tell you can't get this, you know, this amount of dollars for, you know, they pushed me to the limit, and they made me get on my knees, I mean, more than I used on my knees, because the stuff they were saying, it's like, when I was, you know, sending them something, like maybe my profile or my resume to see if they could get me, you know, a job here, a job there, it was like they're mad at the world. I was like, why are they talking to me like this? Like, I haven't done nothing to them. So they were shooting my, like I say, it's mainly the agents. They were shooting down my, you know, my dreams. You know, they were shooting down my dreams, a lot of them. And I don't know if it's because they're European agents. Because, you know, since I'm playing overseas, I deal with the European agents. I don't deal with the American agents for the NBA. So I don't know if that's what it was, but that was the main thing that pushed me and motivated me, was when the agents would just, you know, talk down on me like I can't play at this level, when I know for a fact I could play at that level. And eventually someone gave me a chance, and it was just on from there.
Well, let's digest that a little bit, because you know, various industries have people that you have to work with, you know, that you have to go through.
You're right.
And so, you know, when young people think about being a basketball player, they're thinking about being on a team. They think about playing other teams and the glory and the win and the loss and the championships. They're not thinking the business side of things. So can you talk
to us
about why do you need an agent? What's their purpose and their role? And give us an example, like a tangible example of how, you know, it was a wall for you.
Business side, you have to have an agent going – especially going into the NBA. And American trying to go overseas, you have to have an agent. You know, it's all business. It's all connects. It's all who knows who. It's all, you know, I mean, it's politics, you know, and that's what, when I'm done, I'll be able to help some of these young kids trying to play overseas, you know, with that. But it's all politics. So you have to have an agent getting over there, because it's no way you can contact the teams. I mean, you can call, but you're not going to have the manager number. That's the thing. It's nowhere on the internet. Only thing that's on the internet is the team name and you know, the agent's contacts and stuff like that. So you have to have an agent to get over there, and you know, or you're not going to get over there. And it's a business, because nothing is guaranteed overseas. You know, in the NBA, you sign a 2-3 year deal or 1 year deal is guaranteed. You know, it's guaranteed for that whenever you sign. But overseas, you can sign a contract from 2014 to 2015, or let's say 2015 to 2016, which that's 1 year. So from August to May is usually how long the season goes. They will cut your contract if you're not playing good. Or and you're not getting your money, and no one's going to do nothing about it. That's the thing about overseas. It's more cutthroat in the business. It's not like the NBA or like the jobs in America, to where when you know, get hired or you sign that contract, you're guaranteed that money. You know, over there is, if you sign that contract, even if it says 1 year, they can cut you whenever they want to cut you. And when you get cut, okay, they're going to pay for you to go home, but you're stuck. You're going to have to try to find another team in the middle of the season, and that's real, real hard to do, unless you just have an agent that can work something real quick. But it's still hard, because this season is going on, you know, then or whatever. So that's, I mean, I know a lot of people deal with stuff, but overseas basketball is a – it's a rough business.
And I was looking at the bio, and you've actually had to, you know, make transitions from teams and things of that nature because of the money situation.
I got here the end of August, and I was here maybe till October 15th, and they had money problems. And this is what I'm saying. In the States, you're not going to sign a contract or, you know, get hired on a job and they have money problems. No, because we have families to feed, we have bills to pay. You know, you can't just walk to work and say you have money problems. Or, you know, they'll let you know beforehand that the business is, you know, in debt or something. It's more professional. So there is normal to where when they have money problems, the professional players still go to practice. You know, we eat for free, so, okay, we're eating for free, but still go to practice. And this was going on for about a month and a half, 2 months. So my agent was out of there, and I went to another country and was playing. But it was still players there that stayed there the whole year and didn't get paid. And that's how it's normal like that. Well, not normal like that, but you have that happen sometimes. Now, that was the first time I experienced that. A team go through financial problems like that. Now, I had some other situations to where the management came to me and was like, the money's late, but you're going to get the money. And I got my money, you know. I got my money. He was honest. But, like I said, going over there, you're going to deal with a lot of stuff. And it seems like now a lot of Americans, the more and more and more as the years go on, all of them trying to go overseas to play. You know, if they don't get in the NBA, they're all trying to go overseas to play, but they don't know what they're going to have to deal with. They just think that what they're thinking is, the money, and you know that's all. But it's more than that. It's more than that. You want to live happy. You want to be treated like a professional. You know, you have kids and family at home. You got bills at home, so you want to be treated like a professional and get paid like a normal job on time. You know, on time. But on some of these teams overseas, it's not happening like that. And a lot of teams are having money problems.
So now you mentioned that these type of situations caused you to hit your knees a lot more. Talk to us about when your faith became real for you and how has it helped you through situations like this?
I couldn't do it without, you know, I couldn't do it without him. And it was just me. I got real close to God, you know, when I went to Germany, and that was my first year overseas. Everyone was turning me down, every agent. When I say turning me down, turning me down. And I knew I wouldn't be able to get there, but God, you know, but God. And that's what he does. You know, he breaks you down and, you know, puts you in situations like that to where, you know, he lets you know you're going to need me. And ever since then, you know, it was just, he's amazing. You know, he got me through a lot of stuff, you know. You know, I'm grown now, and I still have to deal with this stuff this year, you know, overseas. But when you've been through so much, you know, and God brought you out of it, the little stuff don't even bother you no more. So what I dealt with this year, it didn't even bother me. You know, it didn't even bother me. I was already used to it. I already know how it worked, and I already knew everything would get better, you know. So when my first year I went overseas, when I was praying 7 to 8 times a day just to get a contract overseas, that's when, you know, my faith came in with God, you know, and it was all him. It was all him.
Well, I know another song that you requested and that meant a lot to you is His Eye Is on the Sparrow.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Lord, why should my heart feel lonely? And long, heaven home. I
tiny thing in this world, and who would care about the needs of a sparrow? But that song is so famous because it just emphasizes the fact that the God we serve, his eye is on the teeny, weeny, little tiny sparrow and watching over and orchestrating life, orchestrating situations and circumstances so that you can get to the right place and be in the right position.
Right.
To do what he has called you to do. Can you share with us some ways, because you said, you know, basketball is definitely a blessing and a gift. And I listen and I look at you on Twitter and your feed, and you're very open about your faith, and you seem to have a good connection, other athletes out there who also share your faith. So talk to me about how you're able to do exactly that through basketball.
Well, most people love sports. I've been through so much. That's why, you know, my faith is so big in God. You know, same thing with my social media. I post, you know, about sports sometimes, you know, here and there. I play sports, you know, I play professional basketball, but I'm always going to post about God because he comes first. And most of the people that play sports, you know, they're seeing that. Or the people that, you know, grew up with me, they're seeing, like, you know, where God took me. So it's relating to them, you know, especially for the people that know me. They knew I didn't live, you know, like a perfect life. Like, I didn't start out when I was younger, you know, just talking about God this, God that, God that. No, like I said, I wanted to go to bars. So they seen my bumpy side. They seen my bumpy, you know, my bumpy road. And they seen, you know, I changed that. That's what got me to where I am now. So from how I'm looking at it is, it motivates people to see not everything perfect at first. You know, it motivates people to see when you're down and how God lifts you up. That's what gets people closer to God. You know, I mean, if my life was perfect, you know, my whole life, then I don't think I can motivate people about God or whatever. Someone else will have to do that. Or when you see people, you know, that struggling, or, you know, not doing so good, or not living the right way, but then you see how they progressed and how they got their life together and they're doing stuff, you know, successful, or, you know, stuff that they're supposed to be doing, it motivates them. And it doesn't only change, you know, the people that is living the right way with God. It changes the people that are not living the right way with God. So that's how I think I motivate people, is because everyone knows that my life has not been perfect, you know?
Well, tell us, you know, a young person today who's listening to you, and they know they want to go into sports. They know they want to do this. Give them a piece of advice, comprehensive, that's, you know, both practical and faith-based.
Well, I would tell them, take it as your profession early. You know, I mean, my dad used to always tell me, these days go by fast. So be a professional early. You know, be a professional early. If you be a professional early, you know, you're going to have less problems than the ones that, you know, like me, caught it right on time. You know, if I could go back, I would listen to my dad and be a professional early, you know, early. I played basketball early, but I wasn't a professional early. So what I would tell them is to be a professional early. And what I mean by that is, take your craft serious. Take your dream serious. You know, pray about your dream. You know, pray about it every day. Don't forget, you know, just because you're young, that don't mean you can't pray. You know, pray about it like, you know, you're on your last chance. Pray about it like you're on your last chance. Waking up at 5 in the morning, just pray. Well, I know everyone's asleep, so I can get that, you know, that peace, you know, with him, you know, that peace with him. And still enjoy your life, but just don't forget what's more important, because you have to sacrifice you know, you have to sacrifice stuff. God's just not going to give you stuff if you're not sacrificing nothing. Well, let me rephrase that. God's not just going to bless you with stuff if you're not sacrificing nothing. So, like I say, what I would tell them is sacrifice what you want more. Do you want to be successful in sports, or do you want to be successful on social media or video games or whatever, you know, at the club, whatever? Sacrifice in what you love and what you want to be. If you sacrifice in what you love and what you want to be, you're gonna be successful. And it's no way, because that's all you're thinking about. You're waking up to it. You know, you take a nap, you're right back to it. You know, you're praying for it. And I know the God that I serve. It's gonna happen. He's gonna bless you with it. You know, that's
yeah. There are two points
that's really
there
all.
That I appreciate you saying that. That's so powerful, because there's this one motivational coach that I listen to from time to time, and he actually says to young people, you know, the thing you need to sacrifice is your cell phone, because your cell phone is not
mm-hmm.
costing you anything but a bill. And if you would just,
right.
you know, use that time more wisely, you could be advancing in that area that you want to advance in. I also share on the show every week Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and he lives eternally, you shall be saved. And that's where this relationship begins. You start there,
right.
you know, and once you start there, he will provide all the rest that you need and able to
right.
understand him, talk to him, and walk with him. So that's excellent
right.
that you're sharing that. Let's shift a little bit and talk about where you are today and things, you know, because like you said, you probably got maybe 7 more years of playing ball, and you're looking at life and what is most important to you. And you've started a clothing line, and I'd like to know why. You know, what was your impetus of doing this?
Well, that's number one. I'm a believer, and I love to dress. You know, that's number two. You know, you have to love fashion to get in a clothing line. I don't know no one that just opens up a clothing line and don't love fashion. So I love to dress. You know, so I love God. I love to dress. And I just think it was something, you know, interesting to try. Connecting with more Christians, connecting with more people. You know, anytime you start a business, you're going to have to connect with more people, and you're going to meet more people. And, you know, my dad always told me, you need to meet, he used to tell me when I was younger, don't mess up connections, because you don't never know who you would need and what you would need when you get older. And you know, connecting and getting to know more believers is, you know, that's amazing. So trust God on the backpack, you know, trust God on the shirt, trust God on the hat. You know, show these people that you can do fashion, but you can also have God on fashion, you know. So I just want to, you know, come out with something new and try to make a name for it, you know, put it out there so people can know, you know, about, wow, you know what I'm saying, this guy has changed a clothing line into a Christian clothing line, you know. So that's why I came out with trying to, you know, shock the world with, you know, PB Clothing Co., the Christian clothing line.
Yeah, a clothing line with a message, and that's extremely powerful what you're saying there. And I like the colors, I like the textures, and at the same time, it's stuff that you can wear every day, you know, and clean and crisp. I wanted to talk to you about the phrases that you've started with, because as the line expands, I'm sure things will expand, but you started with like two very simple phrases, trust God,
mm-hmm.
thank God. So why those two? Why did you hone in right there?
Well,
what did you want people to understand?
Well, this is how it started, really, because even though those are powerful words, but, you know, with fashion and with me just now getting started with this, I didn't want to put, you know, I didn't want to put like a whole Bible verse on a shirt, or I didn't want to put too much. And by keeping it simple, I'm going to use, you know, trust, thank. I know on the kitty's hoodies, the sweaters. We have faith on there. So them, you know, them words right there are key, you know, staying close to God. And, you know, when people see that, like, trust God or thank God or faith, you know, you need them things on a daily basis, So those are, you know, the most important things to me, you know, when, like I say, to, you know, stay focused on God. So that's why I chose them on the clothing.
Great, wonderful. Can you also tell us what is coming up next with for you, and what can people, where can people reach you?
Just to let everyone know, I got married in January, and you know, her country, you know, the USA doesn't let her, you know, the USA doesn't let her country enter the United States without a visa. You can get a tourist visa, but it's only valid for 3 months. But since she's married, she can't get a tourist visa. So we've been going through the USCIS process, the NVC process, and now we're on the last step, and she's about to have an interview, so I should be back home maximum another month. We're going to have some new stuff coming. I can't really say too much on what's coming.
Yeah, you have to be there. You have to be on the ground.
Yeah,
And your wife is a very strong believer as well. I've seen some of her posts also, and she loves the Lord, which is great that you found each other.
Yes.
Tell us about the GoFundMe project and how that can help support the line and getting it out there.
We're trying to do donations, give out stuff. We're trying to start a GoFundMe, you know, until we get to the States or whatever, you know, to help us out with it, and some church events that, you know, my mom's church, El Bethel Church of God in Christ. We're going to go to a couple booths in the summer, like some musicals or whatever, and get a booth and do some charity stuff and hand out some stuff and, you know, stuff like that. So that's why we're trying to, you know, raise donations for the GoFundMe or whatever.
So basically promotional items and giveaways, things of that nature, to get it on the ground and have people to be actually able to see it, touch it.
To get it out there more.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I'm really glad that we've been able to talk. You know, it's amazing when I hear you. I know another one of the songs you enjoy is The Blood Still Works. And clearly when you, you know, put God first in all things, he will add all the other things unto you, as
you
says. And so you can rest assured in that. Why don't we take a moment now to just lift up your dad and pray him through the crisis that he's going through at the moment. Father God, thank you so much. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that you are also the great physician. You are the best doctor that there can be. Lord, you know exactly where the cancer is and, you know, what the cause of the cancer is, Lord, but you're also the one who can heal. You're also the one who can give the doctors wisdom and understanding. You're also the one that could reverse the situation completely. And I'm asking that you would just rest your hand of healing on Philip's dad, and someone who has been faithful to you, someone who has served you well, but not because of that, Lord, but because you are God and because you are so faithful and wonderful to move in a mighty way and to relieve him of this burden so he can continue to tell others of your goodness and to share your grace with others so that they can see that the blood still works, still has its power. And we trust you in all these things, and we ask that all the new marriage of Philip and his wife, that you would continue to join them together, that they would build a strong, solid marriage through the ages, a wonderful example, and that you would even grow this clothing line, Father God, something as simple as basketball, as simple as a clothing line that can really make a difference in people's lives as they walk down the street or they look to be entertained. They can actually find something with greater meaning and greater light to it. So I thank you for all these things, and we're trusting that they're going to come to pass in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, in Jesus' name.
All right, well,
thank you
for being on Don't Give Up Radio.